We're ready to go. Are you ready? Okay. Good morning, Rabbi Sai. As always, our limud of Hilchas Lashon Hara is L'schus Refua of First Lema of Yosef Dov Ben Chaila, Nishtavar First Lema, B'Sor Shal Chayli Yisrael. So we were speaking about the Chofetz Chaim giving us a heter to tell lies in certain situations, and an example that I saw was that Beryl the Balabos has hired David the decorator to decorate his hall. And David works for a few days and he decorates the hallway top to bottom, and everything seems to be going well. And at the end of the job, he asked to be paid. And Beryl says to him, but you haven't yet painted the doors. And David says, the doors were specifically excluded. We discussed the doors because you've got a special finish on them. You didn't want to paint over them. So I was going to do everything except the doors. No, I told you we decided we want to paint the doors. So David the decorator says, no, we never discussed again about decorating the doors. V'horaya, yeah, you never asked me for any paint for woodwork. So all I was doing was I was emulsioning the ceilings, I was emulsioning the walls, but you didn't give me any. You were supplying the paint. I never asked you for paint for the woodwork. You didn't give me paint for the woodwork. Anyway, they're arguing. So Beryl the Balabos says, I'm not paying you anything until you paint the doors. Take me to Dentoria, take me to Arov, do what you like. I'm not paying you a penny. He says, it's Friday, I need the money. It's the end of the week, I've worked the whole week. Give me something on account. No, because I'm scared you won't come back. I'm not giving you a penny until. Okay. Now, all three of them are at a chasna the following evening. Yeah, all three of them are at a chasna on Sunday night. And, well, the decorator, yeah, David, sitting next to Favel, his friend, and opposite is David is Beryl the Balabos. And Beryl sees the decorator in earnest conversation with Favel, his friend. They're talking about something seriously, and both of them are shooting furtive glances across the table and looking at the decorator. And the decorator's convinced. They're looking across at the decorator. The Balabos is talking to his friend.
You said the decorator was talking to his friend.
Did I? No. The Balabos.
Is it sure yeah?
The Balabos. Good, this is good. So the Balabos is talking to the he's talking to his friend, and the decorator's sitting opposite.
Yeah.
And they're both shooting glances at the decorator during the conversation.
Okay, okay.
And the decorator's sure that they're talking about him, and that he's sure that the Balabos is complaining to his friend about this decorator, the swindler, the guy who wouldn't, that he's cheating him, etc., etc., etc. Okay, so afterwards, the decorator comes over to the Balabos and he says, I saw you talking about me to Pliny, who's my friend and your friend. Yeah, what were you discussing? What were you telling him about me? And the Balabos says, No.
I never spoke to you.
We weren't talking about you. He said, yes, you were. I'm sure you were, because you were both looking towards me. And then as soon as I looked towards you, you looked away, etc., etc. So he sees that he can't get away with it. Yeah, says the Chofetz Chaim, and the truth is he was talking about the decorator, and the truth is he was complaining about the decorator, and the truth is he was telling his friend what a crook the decorator is, and now he's being asked to reveal what he was saying, which is pure rechilus. Yeah, so what's his eitzah? Says the Chofetz Chaim, he's allowed to tell a lie. He's allowed to say, you know what I was telling Favel, my friend? I was telling him that you're a brilliant decorator, you've done a great job. I'm very pleased with the quality of your work. Yeah? If he can sort of convince him, he can't prove otherwise. So, in other words, says the Chofetz Chaim, if you're in a situation where you're going to create animosity, you're in a situation where somebody's pressing you to say, what did Pliny say about me? And the truth is that Pliny did not say nice things about him. Then you're allowed to tell a lie. Says the Chofetz Chaim, and I'm not sure what this means, so maybe you can help me on this. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you can tell a lie, but you may not swear. You can't make a shavuot, says the Chofetz Chaim. In other words, you could go as far as telling a lie, you could tell a fib in order to avoid animosity, in order to avoid rechilus, but he says you're not allowed to make a shavuot. Obviously, a shavua is more
common. In a situation common. Where you would shavuas come into.
So, in other words, let's say that in our case, now the decorator says to the Baal HaBos, unless you make a shavua, unless you swear that you were not talking about me to or saying bad things about me, I'm not going to believe you. I don't believe you. I think that you were. Yeah. So you'll say, okay, fine, I'll take it. But the only thing I don't know is I don't know what the Chofetz Chaim means about a shavua. Does he mean with a Sefer Torah and a Beis Din? Does he mean using the Shem Hashem? Does it mean using the Shem HaMeforash? Or does it simply mean, I swear to you? In court you swear. Even in court we don't swear. Solemnly and sincerely affirm. But does the Chofetz Chaim mean that when he says that you're allowed to tell a lie but you're not allowed to make a shavua?
What do you do when you go to a Beis Din?
In Beis Din, you give evidence. You don't make a shavua. Adarava, there's many times when, let's say, Amoitz Mechaveh Ol Varaya, and there, let's say, where there's Neidechot. You can be Moitz Momen if you make a shavua, but a lot of people will say, I do not want to make a shavua. And in our Bati Dinim today, I don't think they make any shavuas at all. There was one type of a shavua, which was that you went into a darkened Beis HaMedrash, and you took the Sefer Torah out of the Oron HaKodesh, and you stand and you swear on in the English courts, they swear on the Bible. They hold the Bible when they solemnly and sincerely swear that they're going to tell half the truth. Yeah?
But if you admit to like half of that, don't you have to make a shavua?
Yes, I just don't know what shavua means, Bizman Hazeh. I'm not sure what the Chofetz Chaim means when he says you can tell a lie, but you can't make a shvur to that effect. I don't know. Okay, I'm just leaving it there. But the Chofetz Chaim uses the Loshen. Yeah, he says.
It's really a principle not hurting people.
He says, "Lo yishov achas v'shalom lasheker b'shvil zeh." Says, "Yeah, lo yishov v'shalom." The pasuk says lasheker. It is a sheker. He's allowed to say a sheker. But he's not allowed to make a shvur to that effect. Yeah? So I'm not sure exactly how far making a shvur. And again, it says here, for most situations one can avoid taking an oath, even under pressure, by asserting that he never swears, even about truth. The person says, I have got a rule, I never ever make a shvur. It's not an indication that I'm telling a lie. It's not an indication that I'm not telling, that I'm saying something in the Beis Din which is not correct. It's simply a fact. I don't want to take the risk of what's called. The Gemara says that there are very, very serious consequences to making false shvurs. Okay.
We all have this every day in a domestic situation.
What? Are you serious? You're not serious.
Okay, I'm not.
So just tell him he's over time. I mean, he's supposed to have started already. Okay.
Where is he? In Manchester?
Yeah, he's from Manchester. He's having a drink.
He's walking from Manchester.
Sorry, it's on the recording.
Why is this? We have this all day in a domestic situation. Can we ever say the truth at home all the time? Every time?
Well, no, but here the Chofetz Chaim is giving you a license to tell a lie.
But
he's saying you can't reinforce that by making it into a shavua. I mean, again, you could say, if it's mutter to tell the lie, then why shouldn't you be prepared to take a shavua? I don't know. I'm not quite sure. So, finally, let's carry on with the next halacha until the speaker finishes his whatever else he's doing at the moment. Vadai says, Da'afilu imo'ayme lo b'feir ha'shem u'yishar gilalov. Yeah? But it says
just came on.
Okay, very good. So he's not the speaker. Maxi, where is he? They've gone home. Okay. So says the Chofetz Chaim again. Says the Chofetz Chaim, there are situations in which you can sometimes say something, and you're not actually speaking the Loshon Hara, we've had this before, or speaking the Rechilus, but from the context, I can work it out. Right? From the context, I can work it out that you are talking about so-and-so. Right? For instance, he gives an example here. He says, after a snowstorm, this is an American edition, he says, after a snowstorm, a 15-year-old boy, he says, volunteers to shovel his parents' sidewalk to clear all the snow away. Yeah? So afterwards, he comes in, and his father says, thank you very much for doing that. Yeah. So his father says, so the son says to him, Well, actually, somebody came out and told me that it's irresponsible for a person to leave the snow on the sidewalk in front of his house because somebody might trip, and if somebody trips on the snow outside your house in America and you haven't cleared the sidewalk, then you'll be liable for damages. You can be responsible for his injuries. Yeah. But the son hasn't told the father who it was who said that. So now the father thought that the son was doing him a tova, and it was a tova. On the other hand, it resulted from the fact that the neighbour started criticising the owner of the house, i.e. his father, for not clearing the sidewalk in the first place and leaving a hazard for other people. Says the Chofetz Chaim, although the son has not told the father who it was who criticised the father, but the father knows very well it was the guy next door, because he's always harping on about it. He's always complaining about the snow. He's always complaining about the sidewalk. He's always complaining about the parking. He's always got, he's a difficult neighbor, and he's always griping about things. And therefore, as a result of that, says the Chofetz Chaim, you can work out, the father works out straight away who it was, even though he didn't say who it was. He didn't mention who it was who said the criticism. So therefore, I'll pi halacha, says the Chofetz Chaim, even if you can work it out by implication, that's got a din of rechilus, because it's pretty obvious to the father. And there are many, many other situations where you don't say anything, but nevertheless, it's quite clear exactly what you mean. Fine. Of course.
The neighbor said,
"I'm not." Lashon hara is always the truth. Yeah. Lashon hara is always the truth. Rechilus is always the truth. If it isn't true, it's Moshe Shemra. Lashon hara is speaking the truth about somebody else who did something bad or said something bad. And it's true, but I'm not supposed to tell you about it. I'm not allowed to tell you about it. Aboisai. That's the end of what I prepared in advance. So, our speaker isn't here. So I'm not sure what we're going to do.
He is here.
Well, apparently he is here. He was here. He was having a drink, and he's not here now. Weissnicht. Okay. Eile todas noyach. These are the generations of, Dime Fisher's the Prelude of Rocha of the Federation. You say Eile todas noyach. These are the generations of leisure. You say when people want to live comfortably and they want to have a nice, easy life, etc. Noyach miloshem menucha. Okay. Eile todas noyach. Noyach is tzaddik. Tomim Hoya Bador Yosov, Esau Lekim Hoya. One of the most famous Rashis. Yeah, one of the most famous Rashis, Tomim Hoya Bador Yosov. Says Rashi. What does Rashi say? Yeish Dorishim.
Zedor, but not in today.
Oh, Yeish Rabbi saying Dorishim Lishvach, but Yeish Dorishim Lignai. Yeah, what does that mean? He says that there are some who say Lishvach. Yeish Rabbi saying Dorishim Lishvach. That they say that, just imagine, if Noach managed to remain a tzaddik in a generation that was corrupt and depraved, and even so he was able to resist all the influences around him and to remain a tzaddik, then just imagine if he would have lived in a generation of tzaddikim. He would have been even the most super duper, even a bigger tzaddik than he was then. That's Yesh Doshim, Yesh Marabasein Doshim Lishvach. And Yeish Doshim Lignai, they say, yeah, compared to the people who lived in his generation, he was a tzaddik. But had he lived in the generation of Avraham Avinu, it says, and the generation of Avraham Avinu were also not tzaddikim. Avraham Avinu was the only tzaddik around. He was makar of a few people, they were makabal, I don't know how many people.
He wasn't the only tzaddik around.
What? Okay, Shem Veiva. Master.
Noach was alive.
Okay, so there are a few tzaddikim in the world. Okay, but the generation itself, all the people around him, the people he was mixing with, the people who were coming into his tent in order to enjoy his achnos tzarchim, generally speaking, the people were, but they weren't as bad as the generation of Noach. And Achal Piket.
Then he says,
Oh, you got it. Okay, so that's the chiddik. The chiddik is say them aforshim that Rashi uses a lashon like this: Yesh me rabbi seinu dorshim lishvach, and Yesh dorshim likar. So they say that if you have a choice, it's a 50-50, whether or not you can be dorish lignai or you can be dorish lishvach, then you should be dorish lishvach. It should be. If you have a choice and you can either think good of somebody else, you can interpret it either way, and you can either think good of somebody else or you think badly of someone else, then you should do it Doshim Lishvach. Says Rashi, Yeshmer Abiseinu Doshim Lishvach. The people I'm going to learn from are the Doshim Lishvach. If I have a choice and I have the option of doing it either way, then I prefer the Doshim Lishvach. There are people who ask on it because Lamaisa, Rabbi Seinu are Amoroim, and there's Amoroim this way and Amoroim that way. But it seems like where you have the question, in a way, not just the question, but you've got the Twila of Rabbi Limelech of Nizhensk, the Twila Koidema Twila, and he says there, Adarabba, yeah, Tainbuli Beinu. Yeah? Everybody knows the song. Yeah, Adarabba Tainbuli Beinu, well, Shanira Kolechon Malas Chavereinu, Verloi Chesroinom. That we should always look for the good, we should always seek to interpret what our friends are doing, we should say, we should always look at Malas Chavereinu, Verloi Chesroinom. And the truth is that it goes even further than that. It goes even further than that. It's an Aseh D'Oraisa. It's an Aseh D'Oraisa of B'tzedek Tishpoit Amisecho. A Parshas Kedoshim, the Pasuk says that you have to judge a person favorably. And therefore, if you have a choice, and you haven't, and you have an option, you can either judge him favorably, or you don't judge him favorably, then the halacha is B'tzedek Tishpoit Amisecho. So therefore, Avada Rashi, in a way, is going to say that if you've got a choice of Yesh Doshim Lishvach, you should definitely be Doshim Lishvach. And therefore, in a way, it's a kasha on those who hold as Yesh Doshim Lignai. If it's a 50-50, why would the Doshim Lignai bechlal? And I don't have an answer for that at the moment. I mean, you can think about it. Yeah, but why, if you've got a mitzvah, B'tzedek Tishpoit Amisecho, Why should a person choose to be Doish Liganai? Okay, so we had a share once. I think I told
maybe
you over.
What? Maybe we're not. We're talking about Amidei Chachamim trying to get a pshat in a piece of chumash. So maybe this doesn't enter the Liganai Shvach thing, which is about you interaction with someone.
Right.
This is
Torah. Yeah, maybe. The Torah does tell us a lot of Lashon Hara about people who did bad things. Yeah. So it could be that the Torah, you say that the Torah tells us, yeah. I mean, you're right. You're talking about impersonal relationships between me and somebody else. I have to be Dorish Lishvach and not be Dorish Lignai. I have to be Dolo Chavskos, etc., etc. But you're saying maybe when we're understanding Tanakh, when we're understanding the stories in the Torah, etc., etc., then you're just trying to find out what really happened, and it's not a problem of being Don Lachavskos.
Some say that these machloikas, if you made a window, they put the even.
Yes.
Torah, yeah. It's also connected to that. Because if it was a Rosha, if it was a Ben Torah, you shouldn't be able to look outside, because a Rosha is not allowed to see the punishment of. And if he was tzaddik, it was a chalon, he could see.
Okay, fine. So we had a share. I think I gave you the share about the service station once, yeah? About the person who comes into the service station, he wants to use the toilet next door, and it's in a McDonald's. Yeah, remember the share? Yeah. And there was a question about there, whether people would be don lachavskos or not. I was looking in a sefer written by a Robertson Summit. She wrote a book called The Other Side of the Story, and it's all about being Don Lachavskos. Yeah, and I got an impression there of exactly how you have to be Don Lachavskos. She told this story. I don't think I told this over, because when I gave you the share that time, I hadn't read the book yet. So I think I heard this still. Did I ever tell you about the sandcastle? No.
Yes.
I did?
Yeah.
I told you about the service station. Did I tell you about the sandcastle, about the kid,
yes.
The kids in the park?
Yes.
I did.
Once more.
Yes. Okay. So basically, what I'm saying is that there are three, if you like, there are three categories of being Don Lachavskos, right? And we also discussed that there are people who, there is an obligation of Yisem Nekiyem Hashem and Yisrael, which means that you have to make your shtadlus to try and make sure that the person doesn't suspect you of doing things. You have to try very hard in order to, what's called, just briefly, I told you about the coin who went down to the Shumas HaLishko to take the coins out of the boxes in the Beis HaMikdosh, that he had to wear a beggar that had no pockets and no turn-ups and no seams and that sort of thing, in order to make sure that nobody could suspect him. Yeah, and similarly, the Beis Avtinas, who made the Ketorius, the house of, who made the Ketorius, We said that the ladies didn't wear perfume. Nobody should think that they maybe took the spices or the herbs, etc., etc., from there. And we discussed, the original V'yisem Hashem Yisrael was the parsha of Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. Bnei God of Bnei Reuven came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, we want to stay on this side of Eved HaYarden. Why? Because we've got a lot of cattle, the land here is fertile, there's a lot of space. We don't think we'll have enough space and we won't have a good enough soil in Eretz Yisrael. We'd rather stay here. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, but everybody's going to suspect you. Everybody's going to think that you're trying to get out of going to the battle. You don't want to fight, right? You're scared of going into Eretz Yisrael and fighting the Canaanim, and therefore you made this your excuse in order that you can stay on this side and settle here. And everybody, ha'achechem yovoyu la'milchomo v'atem teishrufoy. Will your friends, or all the other Meshwatim, have to go and fight for Eretz Yisrael, and you'll be comfortable staying here? So Moshe Rabbeinu made the tznai with them. And he said that you can leave your animals here, you can leave your children here, but you have to come into Eretz Yisrael and you have to fight with everybody else. Only V'yisem Nekiyim Me'ashem Me'Yisrael. That's the bosom.
Was? They offered that first.
I can't remember. No, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Ha'acheichem yovoy l'milchomo v'atem, v'lomos ne'yon. Okay, I can't remember. Maybe you're right. Maybe the pasuk says, I can't remember whether Moshe Rabbeinu said that they have to come or they offered. But in any event, it was clear, that the reason why they went into Eretz Yisrael was in order that people shouldn't have tannas on them. They have to come in order not to have tannas, that people shouldn't suspect them, that they were settling in Eved HaYarden. And that's the original V'yisem Nekiyim Hashem Yisrael. So my question was, why didn't Rabbi Berkowitz tell this guy that he has to do ishtadlus, he has to carry the bags of coke, or he has to stay along Asheyotza in order nobody should suspect him of having eaten in the McDonald's? And I think that what came out was that there are three categories, if you like, of being Don Lachavskos. There's one Don Lachavskos where it's very easy to be Don Lachavskos. There's one where it's 50-50. And there's a Don Lachavskos which is very difficult. Yeah, it depends. Yes. You look at different situations. Yeah. If I see a Heimischer from person who I know, Dudi, I'm going to need you if you can. Yeah. If I see a Heimischer from person driving on Shabbos down Goldsby Road, right, I'm going to say straight away, it's Pikuach Nefesh. He's on Atzola, or he's not on Atzola, and he is a Pikuach Nefesh. It's very easy to be Don Lachavskos. We said in our case of the McDonald's, that when he comes out of the McDonald's, the people who see him, they don't have to suspect that he ate in the McDonald's. He might have gone in for any number of reasons, to check whether they have a heksha, to use the toilet, to buy a Coke, to meet somebody, to collect the rent, whatever it was. It's very easy for such a person to be Don Lachavskos. In the case of Noach, when it says in the Pasuk, Ish Tomim, Tomim Hoyo B'Doyo Sof, it's 50-50. Yesh doshim nishvach, yesh doshim nignai. You can interpret the pasuk either way. Whether you compare Noach to Doiroi, as in Doiro Sof, or whether you compare him to the Doiro of Avraham Avinu, that's a 50-50. The case of the sandpit that we discussed, where the kid, you don't remember the case?
5 second story.
5 second story, okay. So a mother arrives in the park, at the play area with her little Shloimi, and there's a little boy and a girl who've just finished building the most magnificent sandcastle. Must have taken them hours, and they're admiring their work, and they're so happy. And hand in hand, little boy and little girl walk home. They go home. So Shloimi says to his mother, "Can I jump on it and stamp on it and stomp all over it and smash the whole castle down?" His mummy says, "You can't do that. You can't do that. It's so beautiful and it took so much work. We should be sitting and admiring it and leaving for other people to admire. You can't spoil such a beautiful castle." And Shlomi's not happy, but he listens to his mother. And a minute later, Shmuley comes along, and Shmuley, with a yelp, he jumps onto the castle, and he smashes it down, and he runs away laughing his head off. It was the funniest thing and the most entertaining thing that he's ever done. So now Shlomi says to his mother, now can I smash down the rest of it? Now that it's already ruined, half ruined. And his mother said, you might as well. So he's there and he's smashing and he's pushing it down and he's pulling down whatever's left, etc., etc. And the two little children come back together with their mother. And they had gone home in order to tell their mother about the amazing castle that they built, yeah, the major castle that they built, and they said, come and have a look at it, and the mother came along to the park to see the castle, and they come there, and they see Shlomi on the castle, smashing it down, and they burst out crying, and the mother's trying to comfort them, and Shlomi's mother's very upset, because he wasn't the one who smashed it down, he was only carrying on afterwards, so she goes over to the mother, and starts saying, I want to explain to you. And the mother says, leave me alone, go away. Haven't you caused, you and your horrible child, you've caused enough damage for one day, etc. The mother in that situation, the mother of the two children who built the castle, she can't be Don Lechavskos. It's very, very hard. She should imagine that this isn't the child that knocked the castle down. He was the only number two and the other one did it beforehand. She can't. It's very hard. So what I'm saying is as follows. Where it's very easy to interpret for the good, right? You don't have to, it's not an obligation on me to make ishtadlus for Yisem Nekiyim Hashem Yisrael, the Yenna shouldn't suspect me. He's got an obligation, but Tzedek Tishpo Itam Isecho. He has to be Don Lechavskos, and I don't have an obligation, really, to make it easy for him. But where it's 50-50, or it's anything less than 50-50, so that it's likely that the person will misinterpret me, will misunderstand what I've done, Lera, then I have a chiyuv v'yisem nekiyim Hashem Yisrael to make ishtadlus in order that the other person shouldn't suspect me. Dudi, can you do a few minutes? Just go ahead.
Okay, so let's pick up from there. Okay, Yanki said, there's two doyros, right? There's doyroch tzadik tumim hoivu doyroso. And the classic question which is asked is that later on it says ki oischu isi tzadik lefunai bado hazeh, and he only uses the terminology and the complement of tzadik, and he doesn't use the word of tumim. Why is it in the beginning of the seder that he's called tzadik tumim bado roisov, and then later on in the seder it says ki oischu ru isi tzadik lefunai bado hazeh, the singular one? So The diuk is very, very nice, because tzaddik and tumim are two separate accolades. Tzaddik and tumim is, tzaddik is associated with somebody who is ugehiten in aroyas, and somebody who is pure in the areas of promiscuity. Tumim is somebody who is tumim tiyem Hashem elokechu, al tahara hamidoysof. So you've got two completely different areas of scoring. Noach lived through two generations. One generation was the Dor HaMabul, which was famed for, you know, for the znis, the extent of the promiscuity that was going on, that it overflowed to the animals as well. And in view of that, the animals were hishchisi darkom, they were mizdavik zeh shloim zeh, completely the donkey with, together with the cow and vechele vechele. There was also another generation that he lived in, which is only mentioned right at the end of the Seder.
Dor HaMabul was after
Noach. Dor HaMabul was the time of Noach.
After Noach.
What?
Dor HaMabul
was before
Noach. No, not the Dor HaMabul.
Dor HaFluga was in the time of Noach as well. He lived in the time of Dor HaFluga, and after, as you can see from Rashi, mentions there about the world being suspended by RSJs and every so many tufki, so many years, they come down. So therefore, Noach lived in the time of Dor HaFluga as well. Dor HaFluga, he was somebody who was the opposite of the rest of them. They were going to fight with God. They were going to build ladders. They were going to go up to the heavens. And they were going to have a fight with the Eibishter. What's the opposite of that? Tumim. So Yosef was called Tzadik, because Yosef was Tzadik, because he was Ugehitin in Aroyas, and he was not Nechshal with the Mas, with Eshes Potifa, gained that title of Tzadik. Tumim is somebody who is Ugehitin in a Nunim of Ashkufa, that they don't have questions against the Rabboin Shlulim, like the Dor HaFluga had, because the Dor HaFluga went up and they said, we're going to wage war with God. We have no problem with all this. So Mimaila, the first time where it says Tzadik Tumim Hoyu, it was B'doi Roisov, that's plural. That's referring to Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFluga. And the second time it says Oischu Isi Tzadik Lefunai was only B'doi Hazeh, because we're referring to the Dor HaMabul, therefore the association of Tzaddik, which is specifically gotly to do with Kedisha, is only associated with that generation. Which Mikzah Shvucha, yeah, you know what it says. It says that's what Rashi says. The Rashi says that the reason he only says Tzaddik is like Chazal says correctly, that Shloi Befunov, you say, the Rebbeinu Shlomo was speaking, generically speaking, in the Torah, so he called him Tzaddik Tumim. Then he spoke to him directly, so he called him Tzaddik Lefunai. So the Gemara learns out from there that we only say in front of a person Mikzah Shvuchoi, or Shloi Befunov, so you know how Chassidim say, that's Befunov, Zuchben, Mikzah Shvuchoi. So it's Shloi Befunov, and you're not speaking about him, this guy for the Lushan Horosh here, Zuchben, ganz schwach. But on another level, there's a beautiful, there's a nice Leshitusa there in the beginning of Noach. Before we go further, that's very, very nice. That is from the Belz Zeruf's Ronevucha, very, very beautiful. There's a machloikas about Tzoya. What is the Tzoya that happened to the Taiva? One pshat of Tzoya was that it was Even Toivu, that it was a luminous stone, and the other pshat of Tzoya was that it was a window. So if it was a luminous stone, it was sitting there in the dark because it was pretty dark outside. The mazulas were not operating as usual. And he had this luminous stone which brought light. If according to the dark, the other pshat was that Tzoyha was actually a window, then of course it was gazing outside. Now, he says like this, that there is also some other machlokes which Yanki brought down before. That you've got tzaddik tumim hoyu b'toy roisov, which Rashi says yesh doshen l'gnai, yesh doshen l'shvach. What actually is the sort of this machlokes? I mean, if you can dashen l'shvach, why should you dashen l'gnai? That's altogether a question. But in view that Noach was a tzaddik l'shvach, that means that he transcended. He was way above anybody else in this generation. Now the general rule is that if you are in a completely different league, then the Rebbeinu Shlom saves you on your own schiz. Now let me give you the example of this simply by Stom. Later on, in a couple of weeks' time, what we got the story with Lot and his she turned around in the middle of this onslaught of sulfur and salt and upheaval, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Why did she turn into a pillar of salt? Because the only reason that she was saved was because she was a Rashanta. But because she was associated with Lot, she was Mrs. Lot, otherwise that would have been her Lot. And she would have gone with the rest of them. But the Mas Avraham Avinu was the relative, and in that stress, they also became Nitzel. So Memaila, the Malach said to them, hold hands, let's go and leave this cursed place before you are going to go and perish together with the rest of them. Why did she? Could she have survived? Because she was associated with the tzaddik. Avraham Avinu had no such problem. Avraham Avinu was standing and watching the destruction of Sodom, sadly, because he was nitzel b'schis, because he was the tzaddik, and the Rebbeinu Shloim disassociated him from the rest of them. So, if you are nitzel b'schis atzmoi, then you can see mapeluson shel reshuim. You can see their downfall. If, however, you are associated with them and you are, by the skin of your teeth, just going to survive because the Rebbeinu Shloim didn't find anybody else better than you, then you are not really able to view what is going on with regards to the destruction of the others. It goes beautifully together. You got two machlokes. One was Yesh Mirabesai Nidosh Neshvach, and the other one was Yeshmer Rabbi Sainidosh Lignai. Was Noach really this epitome of a tzaddik? Was he bedoyro, somebody who was shining, who was outstanding? But if he would have been a bedoyro shel Avraham, he would have held his own. Or no, maybe not. In that particular door, Shishki Veinim Tzabesa. So that was it, that was the Noach. And now, in view of that, you've got the other machlokes. The other machlokes was, what actually was the Tzoya? Was it Even Toivu, or was it a window? If we say that Noach was a tzaddik on his own right, then in which case he was able to look through the window. Because he would see the Mapeluso Shel Roshoyim, and he would see the destruction, and he would see the decimation of millions of people around him. But if he wasn't, then in which case he would have to have the light from the Eben Toivo, because he could turn his back on the window. He wasn't able to see the Mapeluso Shel Roshoyim. So the Machloikus of Yesh Doshen Lishvach or Yesh Doshen Lignai is actually interwoven with the very same machlokes of whether that soya was an Evan Toivo or if it was a Chaloin, if it was Birshis Asmoy. So that's my other gesagt.
Second.